and know that we're going to heaven. We may not know all the difficulties between here and glory, but we know the ending of our life will be in heaven and serving with the Lord here on earth, serving with God's people, and what a wonderful life that God gives to Christians. And then the capstone, the focal point would be the day that we go to be with the Lord. And we certainly do not know the day that we leave this world. We come to a realization that life is so brittle. Job tells us it's like a weaver's shuttle that's moving very quickly. James tells us that life is like a vapor that's here for a moment and vanishes away. And certainly that is truth, and we have known that in our own personal lives along with others that we know. And thank God we can sing the song, not only in a tune, but we can have the song in our heart that I know I'm saved, going to heaven when we die. If you would this morning, take your Bible and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to only read one verse, and then I'm going to take one other verse, and I'm going to break a rule of preaching. I'm going to take that verse completely out of context, and but it goes along with the message, the wording of it. And so I guess it's not too bad if I tell you that it's a wrong thing to do. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 31, said, "It is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God." Let's read it again. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. This morning, as we live in our world, there is a living God. Our world may not recognize Him. For the most part, our society may make fun of even the thought of Him, and there are those that would make statements that if we speak to God or God speaks to us, that we may be a little mentally off and be deranged. But I'm glad God speaks to me through His Word, and I'm glad I can speak to God through my prayers to Him. And so there is a line of communication that's used in the Word of the Lord that we know that He is a living God. But our verse here this morning in Hebrews 10 tells us it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Years ago, Jonathan Edwards preached that message that is known around the world, in the Christian world, sinners in the hands of an angry God, and sort of along this line. It's interesting, when Jonathan Edwards would preach that in different places, multitudes would come to know the Lord. They would even come trembling and crying and weeping, realizing that God can be angry with us. And it is a fearful thing to fall in those hands of a God that is living and a God that is angry. It was not necessarily Jonathan Edwards' delivery. It was not necessarily who he was or that he was just a preacher well known of his day. But it was the message that he preached that made the difference. I've read some of the history of that message and of Jonathan Edwards. And we would probably, in our style of living, we would probably be bored to death with hearing someone like Jonathan Edwards preach, because we are more animated, we are more delivery oriented. And Jonathan Edwards, he just had manuscript and he just read the message word for word, sometimes in almost a monotone voice that did not go up or down. But yet it was not his delivery. It was not who he was, but it was the message that he preached. And that is the way it should be. It's not how we deliver. It's not who we are. But it is the message of truth that we have. And God tells us here that it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Now, back in Hebrews 9:27 is that very familiar verse that tells us that that we are appointed unto death, and after this, the judgment. And so I want to take that verse, and I guess would be the title of the message, but after this, the judgment. I'm not talking about death, talking about individual living their life and dying, as the verse here in 9:27 tells us. It says, as it is appointed to man once to die, but after this, the judgment. I want to sort of take that out of context. That's what the real scripture here, meaning of the scripture is of living and dying. And I want us to sort of bring it over to this thought of falling into the hands of a living and an angry God. Because after this is the judgment. I believe with all my heart this is the last days that the scripture tells us about. I believe we're living in that time of the very real understanding that Jesus could come. I believe he could come any time. I believe he could have come back in the 1600s, 1700s, because I believe in the imminent return of our Lord. But as we see progress making in our society and we read the Word of God, we know more now than they did hundreds of years ago, but still he could come at any time. And when he comes, after that is judgment. This whole world this morning denies even the existence of a God in heaven. For the most part, our country has departed from the belief and the thought. Brother Larry touched on that a little bit this morning in Sunday school. We have declarations that we are no longer under God. We're no longer a Christian nation. And there's a multitude of people, whether we want to admit it or not, you and I as fundamental believers, as Christians, we are in a very small minority in this world. We're not in the majority. We don't have the control. We don't have the voice that maybe used to have. I can remember when cities would ask different pastors what they thought about certain legislation. I remember when different ones in authority would ask Christians what does the Bible say? That's not even considered now. And if it was, it'd be so torn apart that a man or woman wouldn't want to even put their name to that. But one of these days, this world is going to fall into the hands of a living God. After this, the judgment. I believe the next thing on the calendar for God is what we call the rapture. I believe it could come before we finish this message. I sort of wish he would. That'd take care of a lot of our problems, wouldn't it? That'd take care of a lot of our struggles and our sorrows if the Lord would just come. And sometimes, as I've heard people say, and I've said it, sometimes we're more interested in our disappearance than we are his appearance. We're more interested in us leaving than him coming. And we know when he comes, we're going to leave, so therefore we say we want him to come, but really down deep in our heart, we just want to leave this wicked world of which we are a part of. Now, I know the word rapture does not appear in the scripture, but the whole philosophy of rapture means to be caught away and to be caught unto him. And so I have no problem using that word. And the Bible tells us that Paul says we shall not all sleep, but we'll be changed in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. We should be changed, for this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And he goes on to tell us that that we're going to leave this world, the dead in Christ first, and we which are alive and remain. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I've said this so many times, this is becoming one of my favorite verses in the scripture concerning going home to be with the Lord because of the wording that it says. Paul again writes to the Thessalonian church, and he says, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And so we find that these verses reveal to us that we are going to be brought unto the Lord, the dead in Christ, those that we have put in the cemetery plots, and those cemeteries that we go by as we travel different places, and we see all the monuments and the stones. Those are just representative of someone that lived upon this earth. We do not know them. We do not know if they were a child of God or not a child of God. We don't know anything about them. But that monument speaks that they were alive and they were here upon this earth, and they now are passed away. They are dead. There are some that are dead in Christ, and there are some that are dead without Christ. And Paul says there's a great difference there. And he tells us that there will be a gathering unto himself at some point in time. So we believe very clearly that the Bible teaches that there is a catching away. There is a gathering of God's people unto himself. There is a rapture. There is a moment that one day we'll leave this world. And when you got saved, I believe with all my heart, when you got saved, when I got saved, God put within us the ability to hear the trump of God. And nobody else will hear that except Christians. We have the ability to hear the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel. And I believe we'll hear, as we read in Revelation chapter 4, I believe we'll hear that announcement, come up hither, and we'll be with the Lord forever and forever. Now, there are some that do not believe in the rapture. Bless their heart. They miss a real blessing of study. They miss a real encouraging things from the word of the Lord. There are those that believe the rapture is going to come midway the tribulation. I'm glad that doesn't happen, because my Bible tells us that we're not appointed unto the wrath of God. And the tribulation is called the wrath of God. And it's the wrath of God upon this earth. And so after the rapture, after that is the judgment of the Lord. This world that denies him and hates him, mocks him, makes fun of him, one of these days they're going to fall into his hands. And his hands will certainly give them the understanding of what they missed. For you and I, when we leave this world, we can sing that old song, What a Day It Will Be. What a wonderful time it will be to be able to be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ and to our loved ones. I believe heaven is just as real as the building we're in this morning, but much more beautiful. I believe we'll know and we'll be known as we are known today. I believe we get to heaven, I believe my mom and dad will know who I am. I believe I'll know who they are. I believe the friends that we've had upon this earth, the scripture says, we'll be known as we are known. And so there's a joy and there's an anticipation of what heaven is going to be like. But more than anything else, we're going to enjoy seeing the face of our Lord. We're going to enjoy seeing the place that he has prepared for us, and the face that has been given to us that we might have life. What a day that will be. What a wonderful time. One songwriter put it, some golden daybreak, and when Jesus will come. Morning, noon, or night, the Lord's coming. Doesn't matter what time it is in one place, it'll happen simultaneously at the other place, halfway around the world. And so we find that there is that promise that we're going to escape the judgment of God. And so when we leave here, after that is judgment. After that is that time when it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Can you imagine being without the Lord and having to stand before him? Can you imagine hearing the gospel and preached and proclaimed through your lifetime and continually rejecting it and continually turning a deaf ear to the word of God, and then all of a sudden you're standing before the God whom you rejected? What a fearful thing that should be. I believe we have people that are not thinking too much about that, because I'm afraid we have a whole lot of preachers that's not preaching about that. But it's a fearful thing. In our thoughts, it's a horrible thing for a person to die without the Lord. It's a terrible thing to die without God and to face him as a living God, and as Jonathan Edwards said, an angry God. He may call us now softly and tenderly, as the old song says, but there'll be a day when he will not talk to the unregenerate in a soft voice. There's a day coming when they will not hear the call of God. They'll hear just the condemnation of the Lord. And so it's a fearful thing. And the day after we leave here, you know, it could be today. I have plans for this afternoon. Part of that may be probably a nap. And we all have plans for something going on this afternoon. We're going to eat lunch. We're going to have sometimes we have activities. And we have plans. But wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if those plans were just interrupted? And we go to the hands of a living, loving God that has given us opportunity that we can go to be with Him forever. But after that is the judgment upon this world. After that incident or that rapture that comes, that is coming, after that, this world will literally fall into the hands of a living God. And they'll recognize who He is. Even the Jew later will recognize that He's the one whom they pierced. They will recognize that He's the one that they crucified. And so the world is going to fall under the judgment of the Lord. Now, preaching on the judgment of God is not a shouting message. It's not a fun message. It's not an easy message. But you know, one day we're going to stand before the living God. We're going to be judged of the Lord. And without Christ, the judgment begins after this, after we hear the sound of the trumpet. I'll describe just a little bit of what might take place that day. That day that so many people will disappear. That day when things will happen a little differently. Now, we may be in the minority, but there's enough Christians in our country that make a difference in our country. I really believe part of the withholding of the wrath of God today is because of the influence of God's people. But after we are removed, after we are gone, God tells us that His clock of judgment will start. That's what the book of Revelation is about. We could read that this morning and read those verses from chapter 4 on, and you'll find God is unleashing His wrath and His anger and His disgrace of what they have done and His hatred of how they have lived and mocked His Son. But can you imagine this morning, if we were all to leave here a split second, and that's how quick it'll be. Paul says it's in the twinkling of an eye. Paul says we're here and we're not here, just that quick. Not going to have time to get things right. Not going to have time to tell anybody goodbye. It's just that quick. And we know not when it is. We don't know the day nor the hour. Only the Father in heaven knows that. But we don't know when it, but we know the signs of the season. We know we know when the fig tree buds. We know we're in the spring season right now. We see the flowers bloom. We see the different things. And we know the season that we're in. And as we look around us, we certainly, as a Christian, ought to understand the season of time in which we end is a season of wickedness. As the days of Noah were, as the days of Lot were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Noah's day was a day of violence and turmoil, and Lot's day was a day of perversion, and we have them both all intermingled today before us. And as those days are before us, Jesus says, lift up your heads, for you know your redemption draweth nigh. But when that sound comes, when that trumpet blows, and we leave here, there is not one righteous individual left upon this earth. Now let that soak in just for a moment. Not one Christian will be left. Thank God He doesn't leave any behind. We're going to leave here because we trust the Lord Jesus. But after this, after that sounding of the trumpet, after that we have heard about, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 4, after we hear that and the dead in Christ rise first, all those things are what we would consider simultaneously. And when that takes place upon this entire world, there will not be one righteous influence left behind. Can you imagine how wicked things will get? Can you imagine how ungodly people will become? Somebody says, I don't believe it can get any worse. Oh, yes, it can. I don't think it can get any worse than it is now. Why? We're seeing all this stuff and all these things happen. How could it get any worse? You let all the Christians be taken out of here, you'll find out how bad it can become. As dissatisfied as we are with some of our political leaders, and seem like they get nothing accomplished, but I'm glad for those that are there that know the Lord. I'm glad there are those there that know Christ, for those governors and those legislators that know Christ. They have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I think our vice president has a personal testimony of salvation, very, very good testimony. And thank God for that. I think our governor has a great testimony of being a Christian. Whether we agree with all he does or doesn't do, that's beside the point. He is a child of God. And one of these days, if it's today, he'll be gone. If the vice president is a Christian, as I think he is, he'll be gone. If Trump is a Christian, which I don't know, I've never read that much of his testimony. He has some good things. He has some good words. He talks a good talk, but I don't know. But if he is a Christian, he'll be gone. And there'll be a lot of people left behind, and they'll be glad that we are gone. They'll be glad that our influence. I've read many different accounts of what people say. Yesterday I read an account of from Oprah Winfrey, for what it's worth. And she said, what really just needs to happen, she said, there's still a lot of older people that are under the influence of last generation around this world. And she, you know what she said? They just need to die. No, we need to go home. And somebody like that, they're going to be left behind, and they're going to stand before God, and they're going to get account to the Lord as to why that type of thinking. So when the rapture comes, when Jesus comes, and he's not coming to the earth, he's coming in the air, and as they saw him go in Book of Acts, we're going to see him come back. He left physically, bodily. He's coming back physically and bodily. And we're going to see him, and we're going to hear him, and we're going to go be with him. And this world is left without any influence of righteousness. No righteous people will be here. They'll be removed. Thessalonians tells us they'll be removed out of the earth, the dead in Christ. Those cemeteries, those that have those bodies that are laid in that ground, those that are in Christ, they're going to be taken out of this earth, and they're going to be with the Lord. There are those, it doesn't matter where the body is, it doesn't matter if it's been disintegrated, if God can create it, he can bring it together. A lot of people, I've heard people say, well, I want my body cremated, and so I can throw my ashes around the world, and nobody can put it together. Oh, but God can. God can do it. No sea is going to hold us back, and no separation of parts is going to hold us back. Doesn't matter how we are put in this world, put in this after death. God has the ability. He knows where we are, and he can put us all back together, and we're going to stand before God. So after the rapture, after this is the judgment of the Lord. We're going to be taken out of the earth, going to be taken off the earth, we which are alive and remain. And we're going to be headed toward heaven in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. It's not going to be a long trip. It's going to be almost an instantaneous twinkle of an eye, pretty quick. And so we find that the removal of the child of God brings about an upheaval of immorality and terrible living and hatred of God. We don't want God to rule over us. Well, you don't have to have, but he's going to one day. And so we find that after the rapture, after this, the world's going to fall in the hands of a living, and as Jonathan Edwards preached, an angry God. He's angry at their sin. He hates their sin. Not only that, but The Bible tells us that the restraint of the Holy Spirit will be removed. We don't think too much about that. But the Holy Spirit is in this world, and the Bible says He is a restrainer of ungodliness. He holds back wickedness. Where does the Holy Spirit live? He lives in the believer. He lives in our heart. Every born-again Christian, every born-again child of God, the Bible says, has the Holy Spirit living in him. He has taken up his, he's taken up house. He lives in your life. Our temple is the temple of God. Our temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price. That price was the death and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit has moved in. And when Christians are removed, guess what? He goes with them. And the restraint of sin will be taken away. Paul says, even in his writings of 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2, here almost 2,000 years ago, Paul says, "For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now," and the word is letteth. It's an old word. It just means to hinder. "Only he," that's a personal word, "that now letteth will let." Only he who now hinders. He hinders now, may be taken out of the way. And so we find that the Holy Spirit is removed and the restrainer of sin, he's taken back with the child of God. The Lord will allow men to roam without any restraint like wild beasts. And they do as their heart dictates. Pretty well describes it in Genesis chapter 6. Everything that man did was only evil continually. Every imagination, every thought of his mind was on wickedness and ungodliness. And if it's that way in Noah's day, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man, coming of the Son of Man. And we have much more ability to be wicked. We have many more devices to be ungodly. We have many more ways to not be restrained. And so when the Lord comes after that, the judgment of God falls and the restraint of the Holy Spirit is removed. I don't think we can imagine. I don't think we can put in our mind how wicked this world can become. Because as bad as it is right now, guess what? It's being restrained by the Holy Spirit. Wickedness is being held back. Well, some of the junk I've been hearing lately, I don't want to hear it if there's no restraint. Some of the things I see and hear on the news, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to experience it when there's nothing restraining their thoughts and their imaginations and their hatred and their ungodliness and their wickedness. I don't want to be around. Thank God I won't be around, because we're going to be with the Lord, and after that's when this will all take place. There will be a reign of evil. Sometimes we think America is the only place around. There'll be a reign of evil worldwide. Worldwide. The book of the Revelation tells us some of the great truths of those days, how it will be worldwide. You have the seven seal judgment. We've studied those, the seven trumpets, the seven vials. All of those are the wrath of God coming out upon a ungodly people. After this, the judgment. You have horsemen found in the book of the Revelation. You have five of them that are mentioned there, and we find the horseman of a deceiver. He deceives the world in Revelation 6. We find the horseman of the destroyer in Revelation 6. In Revelation 6, we find the horseman of a famine or dearth. Man suffers and dies because of a famine worldwide. That's not just a coincidence. That's something that happens as a directive from God. The world is now in the hands of a living God. the world now is answering to the Lord that has made them and created them, and they've rejected Him. You find the horsemen in Revelation chapter 6, the horsemen of death. Death is going to be worldwide. And so we find problems ahead. After this, the judgment. What a fearful thing it is to fall in the hands of a God that has control of it all. God can snuff out our life anytime He desires. God can change the world. He can stop the sun. He can move it back degrees. He can make it do what He wants it to do. He can speak and there be light, and He can cut the light off. And one of these days, the world is going to be in His hands. He'll be controller. I don't have time to go into a lot of these things that will happen, but we know that there'll be a worldwide problem with Israel already now. Isn't it a strange thing that Israel could be attacked and attacked and attacked and attacked, and when they attack back, it's always Israel's fault? Isn't that strange? Now, when you know the Scripture, the Bible says they're always the one that are looked down upon. But when we are removed, when the Christian is taken away and the Holy Spirit is no longer restraining ungodliness, then the world begins to move against one particular place, that little dot on the map called Israel. And a smaller dot, especially Jerusalem, the city of peace that has not known peace forever. And the Lord says, pray for the peace of Israel. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. One of these days, they'll have their peace. But not until after the judgment of the Lord. You better listen to what takes place in China. You better listen to what takes place in Russia. Because they are very, very important countries in the last days. Better listen to what happens in Israel, because that's the focal point. But the Bible talks about the kings of the east coming over against Israel. And that's the Oriental countries. That includes Korea. That includes China. That includes Japan. Those Oriental countries, they're going to march one day against that one little speck called Jerusalem. It talks about the bear from the north, and that's Russia. You know, a few years ago, we had President Reagan that said, tear down that wall, to Gorbachev. We've got a little piece of the Berlin Wall back there in our display. And as it crumbled, everybody said, the Soviet Union is crumbling. It's going out of existence, and communism is no longer really a viable part. Well, Russia never did go out of existence. Russia is there, and Russia will be, and Russia is a big player in these last days. No wonder we hear so much about Russia. God says, I've got a hook for their jaw. He said, I'll take care of them. You see, they're going to fall in the hands of a living God after this. But the worst thing of all, and lastly, the day after the rapture, after this, is that men have rejected the Lord too long. I believe, my personal belief, is that when somebody has heard the gospel and had opportunity to hear the message and believe or reject, that if the Lord comes, the Bible, I believe, says He'll send them strong delusion. And those that have heard, they've rejected too long after this. I don't believe they have an opportunity. I don't believe. You see, people say, well, they'll remember all they heard. No. They'll only come to God when the Holy Spirit deals with their heart. And guess what? He's gone. He's not here to do that now. And so these folks that have heard the gospel and heard it, and they've rejected. The saddest part of this day after the rapture is that they waited too long. That's why it's so very important that we tell people today is the day of salvation. That's why we tell them not tomorrow. Can't do it yesterday. It's gone. You can't do it tomorrow because it's not here and you may die. So the only time to really be saved is right now. If we wait too long, then we'll be a part of that after this crowd that falls in the hands of a living God. May God help us to rejoice in what we have and tell our friends, tell our families, tell our loved ones, our acquaintances, even sometimes our enemies, that Jesus loves them just like He loves us. Because if they wait too long, they'll be in this, after this crowd, after this, the judgment. Let's stand together this morning.